Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for March, April, sometime. We don't know. We're way behind and we apologize for that, but we're going to work to catch up, and we've got a good crew for you today on the roundtable. So I'm Tommy, of course. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good, sir. Yourself?
I am well and getting at least a little bit of sleep. And so things are good over here. Family's happy and healthy and good. So we also have our boy Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Not a lot.
Our boy Spencer. How you doing, Spencer?
Pretty good. Just gaming a bit on the weekend. Get some days off.
Nice. That's a good thing. No 14-hour shift coming up after the roundtable this month.
I'm off for 2 weeks. I'm going to Miami on Tuesday.
Nice.
Oh my getting nice. Out of
the cold for a while. So good for you. Yeah. We also got our boy Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, not a lot. Not a lot. Keeping busy.
Nice. And then, of course, Spider. How you doing, Spider?
I am excellent. Happy to awesome. Be here.
Glad to hear it. So we didn't have a topic coming in, so we kind of made one up just in chatting before we turned on the mics. And so our topic this month, and we'll see how it goes, is it's going to center around the kind of hype that's built up around games, and specifically God of War, because as the big AAA title that's on the horizon that the reviews just all dropped for, and there's all this hype around it. So there's kind of a whole system behind that, and then some of the responses to that, often in kind of toxic internet culture, Twitterverse, all that kind of fun stuff. And so
idiots.
Yes, idiots. That's fair. So our boy Cabbage metastasized this idea. Is that a good word? Metastasized.
Yes.
Came up with the idea on the fly while we were chatting. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, Cabbage, to kind of discuss what you were talking about before we fired up the mics.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, right now everybody's probably, if you've been following stuff with God of War, you see that like it's getting tens or hundreds, and it's, I mean, it's not completely unexpected. I think that if people have been following this, even if you weren't huge into the series, which I would consider myself one of those, I've never been a huge God of War fan. But the game just looks good. It looks like a very well put together, very polished, next, you know, exclusive to PlayStation. And they're almost always good. Like, it's not a surprise that it's getting good reviews. But a lot of people are saying it's like, you know, legendary, amazing, top 10 of all time kind of game thing. And then you see people's response to that. A lot of people's response to hype from gaming media in general is sometimes negative. They get cynical and they just assume that maybe they're being paid off, or, you know, talking up a game way too much, or maybe their lens into it is too fanboyish or something, whatever. And that's understandable. This is a broad topic in general, just about like, hey, does gaming media hype up stuff too much, or do people buy into hype too much? That kind of stuff is worth bringing up. But I wanted to bring out this one tweet in particular because it's kind of insane. There's a guy, Jeff Cannata, who's been doing like game related stuff for a while for podcasts and different media. He tweeted out he's been playing early. And he said, what if Zelda had an amazing cinematic story? What if Last of Us had incredible skill-based combat? What if Uncharted somehow put all the violence in context? What if Dark Souls was approachable and clear? The answer to all these questions and more is God of War. So basically what he's saying, for people who are too dumb to understand, what he's trying to say is, hey, you know all these other great games that do some of this stuff, but maybe it would be nice to have those elements with better versions of it. Like, let's say Dark Souls is great for what it is, but what if you had the same kind of combat, but it was more approachable and clear on how to do stuff? Wouldn't that be great? Well, God of War has that. He's not saying Dark Souls is bad. He's saying, hey, it's doing things Dark Souls does, but it also, it's in a game that's maybe more accessible and easier to get into. What's wrong with that? Well, apparently everything's wrong with that. Because all of the not all of them, but so many of them are jumping on him saying, well, that's a bad comparison, and you're trying to make Dark Souls into something that the fans would want it to be, and all of this just absurd stuff. And it, so that's the idea I'm trying to bring out there is like, okay, somebody's just trying to say, hey, all you people that like games like I do, wouldn't it be great if the, all the elements of this game were in a new game that came out? Well, it's there. It's coming out. It's great. And you should be excited about it. But people just attribute all of this like malicious intent, or that he's trying to bash other games, saying this is the good one and these ones suck. And this is a part of like pre-game release hype online culture that I've noticed before a lot. I mean, people are so quick to jump on somebody for either saying, hey, I'm not too excited about something, or I'm really excited about something. And I feel like that happens more with games than other mediums. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe it's because I pay attention more to games than other mediums. But it's just kind of insane how people, and the game's not even out. And he even says that to somebody. He's like, maybe you should wait until you've been able to play the game and then see if my comparisons are fair to someone that clearly has not been able to play the game yet. He's not talking to some other game journalist. He's just talking to some random person. It's like, yeah, that's a fair point. These people haven't even played it yet, and they're jumping on his comparisons. It's like, let it come out and then play it and then see if you think it's fair. But anyway, there's my comments on that whole thing, I guess.
So, couple of things. First, I like when Cabbage comes up with the topic because we don't have to do anything. secondly, I wonder if, because the fact that we're discussing this, I wonder if some of this has to do with our age. Because at some point in our lives, and maybe we still are to some extent, we were these people that we ate, slept, and breathed this stuff. And I like to think we still are, but we have jobs, and we have wives, and we have families, and we have other crap that we have to do. And just scrolling through some of these comments, I'm wondering if some of these people have any of that. You know, yeah. Like, and I think to me, that's what a lot of this is. People are on Twitter and they get fired up about something like this because this is what they do. You know, this is their thing, and they don't really have anything else.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that because I think it's a good point, and it also befuddles me. And I say this as one of the two hosts of this podcast that we've been doing for a million years at this point. You know, like, we've been doing gaming stuff all of our lives and been talking about it for basically all of our adult lives at this point, which is awesome. Yeah. And so you would think if anybody takes this stuff too seriously, it could be us, but we don't. Like, and that's what I see in this that just confuses the tar out of me is, how does somebody get this pissed about video games? You know, like, I just, like, video games are my fun thing. And like, if somebody doesn't like a video game that I like, cool, you know, like, it's a freaking video game. It just, like, I don't understand internet culture in a lot of ways, but the idea of being just so fired up over something so ridiculously trivial and like just going to blows with somebody on the internet just blows my mind. I just can't even imagine. Like, there's serious stuff that I can see you arguing about. A comparison between Dark Souls and God of War, not one of those things. I just don't get it. And I understand, like, I love video games. It's been part of my life, my entire life. I mean, they're huge in my life. Yet, I'm never going to yell at somebody for not liking the video games that I like.
Like, we've been yelling and whining and complaining, and mostly me, I've been yelling and whining and complaining about the fact that we want to get paid to play more games, and we do. That's an honest thing. We love this stuff, but it's not something that I'm not gonna get bent out of shape over on the internet. You know,
and Jamie and I have yelled at each other plenty in the past. And so let me be clear. We don't yell at each other, but we both know it's in good humor and in not serious live stuff. And maybe that's the same thing with these people. I don't know their motives. Twitter trolls are that way. You know, they may be perfectly wonderful human beings in real life and just like to troll people online. So all that being said, let's bring in some other voices here, because I'd love to hear, especially be honest here, this is candid, I don't really follow y'all much online. I don't follow anybody online. It's nothing personal to y'all. I just don't follow much stuff online. And so I'm curious to if anybody's really engaged in this world or whatever. And so Spider, just thoughts. what comes to your mind in all this?
Well, I haven't engaged in that culture. I find it, you know, pretty non-positive and depressing, so I don't even bother. But some of the things that I was thinking about is that, you know, everyone has their games they're like and that they're passionate about, and so I usually try and put out there to people like, hey, you know, it's good to find someone that does reviews for games that you agree with, and then just follow that person's reviews, because then, you know, as they start reviewing future games, you know, you'll know pretty much, you know, that you'll end up liking a game if they liked a game, and you should probably stay away from a game if they stayed away from the game. And another thing I was thinking about is I don't like how I think one of the things you're talking about video game hype, and I think video game trailers should be held off until like 6 months before the game's release, just because you know, we have delays and all sorts of stuff that creeps in. I love it when it tends to be Nintendo that does this a lot. It says, hey, we're working on this game, and guess what? It's going to be here in 6 months or less. Or, you know, they did that. Well, I think it was Fallout 4 that Bethesda did that with. I tend to like that kind of cycle more, because then the hype train doesn't go up and down for years and years and wondering if this game's going to be good or not. And now it's taking too long to come out, and that just builds it even worse for the online community. So just a couple thoughts that were running through my head.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I'm with you. And I think Jamie may be onto something too. That's just an age thing, that we're a little older than wanting to get in that muck. So I don't know. Josh, what about you?
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, frankly, it can be a little bit of a depressing state of things, really, if you start to look too much into it. And I mean, it's behavior that I think everyone can agree spans across all areas of the internet. And I think it's just, it's like people don't know how to communicate, like human beings when they're online, you know? I don't know, maybe I'm grasping at straws, but I know that at the moment there's been a greater discussion about internet bubbles and the consequences that's having. And to me, it seems like a similar sort of phenomena occurring in gaming, and this example in particular, where people just surround themselves and are only exposed to opinions and viewpoints that they agree with. And then as soon as they see anything that goes against their own worldview, it's just they can't deal with it, you know. It's just this, oh my god, you're insulting my religion.
Well, hold up. Welcome to where I live in the Texas Panhandle. That's
Well, yeah, but I mean that's what I mean. Like, I mean, the people are, would you say that, I don't know, I'm not going to turn that into a discussion about, you know, about
no,
religion,
I'm
but
just saying,
as far as
no,
a measured response,
That's a huge problem that we have down here, and
yeah.
it's where I live is the only place in the world where I feel like the internet is mirrored in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah, I think there's something to that, yeah, that idea of bubbles that you can, that the internet, that should be this wonderful tool of like bringing people from all like disparate worlds and this kind of great diversity together, actually ends up isolating us further, because you can find your people. You can find that, yeah, you know, bubble that thinks exactly like you do on like every issue, which in real life is kind of hard to do. It's hard to find a group of people that has all of your interests and shares your same point of views, but the world on the internet so broad that you can find that little bitty niche community if you look hard enough, and then get into that big echo chamber and think things are way more important than they are. You know, like, it really get caught up in stupid, toxic cultural things. And I think I'm around enough different communities, like, randomly online, to see at least the interactions from politics to music to culture to video games to several different things. And I really do feel like gaming culture is bad, like, compared really to, like, bad. Even politics, yeah. Which is awful. Like, online gaming culture, I mean, not even getting into Gamergate and that whole world of stuff that just exploded. Like, I don't understand why there's this kind of toxic culture around gaming online that seems so persuasive. Is it just those people are the ones that feel strong enough to make their voices heard, and so they overwhelm the conversation? Or I don't know, but it's
there was something Josh said that he said it's like they don't know how to communicate like human beings because they are on the internet. But I think that's the problem. They aren't communicating like human beings because they're on the internet. So because you have that anonymity and can say what you want without any kind of repercussions, you know, you're not going to get into a fist fight with someone through the internet. You know, there's no, I mean, unless the person you're attacking is like a hacker and is going to mess with you that way, then, you know, there's zero repercussions for that person. And so people tend to lean towards saying whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that I'm just thinking about sitting here that really scares me is that the internet culture, I think, is starting to leak out into the world in the way that people are. I mean, you just go to Walmart and you see the cross-section of people that you deal with, and nobody knows how to communicate anymore. Like, that's everybody's walking around with their phones, everybody's doing whatever they do, and they're kind of in their own thing.
And that's, of course, that's a social media problem, but it's, yeah, a lot
it's
of
it's all
people,
tied together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. That's painful, but I think you're spot on. And now I feel like we're like the old man curmudgeon-y show of like these kids and their technology just ruining everything.
Wait. You feel like now we're the old man curmudgeon-y show?
Fair. Spencer, let me get you in here too. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird how, yeah, there's a game will come up. New game will come out and it'll be just like all the hype for it, and then it's like it's a flop, and then that game studio like dies almost. It seems like they just kind of disappear after a while, for a little while, or
yeah, that's right. Can I ask broadly to be more cheerful? Who's pumped about God of War? Like, who's legit looking forward
now
to this game?
Yeah, now I'm excited.
I'm buying it absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't have a console, so I can't.
Fair.
I'm excited as well.
I have a console. I've never actually played a God of War game, I'll confess.
Josh, so. You got to do it. Trust me.
I'll say, I don't know, maybe Spider, you might be here too. I already know Cabbage and Josh aren't here. I love the franchise. I've played the last game, Ascension. Was that God of War Ascension? Whatever the last game they put out was. I just never got to it. But the earlier titles, the first three or whatever, I consumed excitedly, ravenously. I really, really enjoy the games, the big boss fights, and the combat's fun and all that kind of stuff. And so my biggest worry going into this God of War game is that they're like turning it into Uncharted or something, which I love Uncharted, and nothing, no knock on Uncharted or something Naughty Dog-ish. But I'm a little worried that it's not going to be the kind of stupid over-the-top button masher that I've kind of fallen in love with over the years that didn't take itself too seriously. Like, my biggest fear is it's just going to take itself too seriously. Apparently it doesn't, or if it does, apparently it does it really well, at least according to the reviews so far. So I'm thoroughly pumped about it. But that was my big reservation about it all along, was that it just was going to be too serious of a God of War. So I'm hoping it's awesome.
Yeah, and honestly, for me, I tried to play those games. I just never got into them. I really was never a fan of God of War, and that's why I like the way this new one's looking, because it's more catered to something I'd be more interested in. Like, I think the combat system in it, the gameplay I've seen, it does evoke some Dark Soulish things, and it just doesn't feel as sort of like brawler hack and slash stuff that I've never really been a fan of those games. I've never really been able to get into them, the whole combo brawler things. Sure. I like combat systems that are a little bit more, I don't even want to say challenging, because those games can be challenging, but I just want it to feel more weighted, sort of like, I don't know, I guess Dark Souls is just, I generally want it to have that sort of feel to it. And, sure. And it has more of that feel. But then also the game looks like, I like the fact that it seems like it's taking itself more seriously, because God of War was always known as like the bro game that you could literally do the sex mini game in and stuff. It's like, okay, and no, I don't really want to do that. I mean, it could be funny, but like, no, I want to like play a serious game that has a good story.
Well,
not saying it didn't have a good story. Maybe they did. Maybe I probably just missed it, but they didn't take themselves seriously enough, and I just didn't really like the gameplay. So I like the way the new one's looking.
Here's the deal with God of War, and what excites me about God of War. We went on and on and on a couple of roundtables back about Shadow of the Colossus and what that game did for boss fights and the scale of it and all that. God of War has that. Like, God of War has that thing where you're walking along, you're killing stuff, you're smashing stuff, and then a three-headed hydra pops out and you're like, oh, you know. So my thing is, if you get that and you get a good story and you get the cinematics and all that, I think that's what Jeff's talking about, to bring it back to the tweet. If it has all of that, if it has the gameplay of Zelda and the cinematics of Uncharted and whatever else he said, that's going to be a ridiculous game. I want to play that.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, just for, if you care about Metacritic scores, you may not, I always like checking Metacritic scores. Obviously, this is just the critic reviews at this point, because the game's not actually released yet. The critic score, Metascore right now is a 95, which is pretty darn high. That's well done. Several perfect scores, as Cabbage mentioned before, and lots of good publications that are putting stuff out. I saw Polygon gave it 100. Easy Allies, which is a group that I really like, gave it 100. I think IGN gave it a perfect score. Yeah, IGN was up there. So and a whole bunch of ones I haven't heard of as well, which is always the case. It is critically acclaimed. Is going to be a big deal this year. I'm pumped. I'm really excited to play it. So
it just
looks like
a
it's
going
to live up to the hype.
It reminds me a lot of the Tomb Raider reboot, just be from the same perspective of like it was there, but then like over time it seemed like the same thing over and over again with the same game started to get tired, and so hey, let's try a refreshed revisit to this, and
yeah,
working out well.
Let me a quick anecdote about God of War, because I think that's a really good point. I can tie that in. So the first God of War came out when I was in college. So I was 19 or 20 years old when the first God of War game came out. I remember this. Here's my awkward anecdote about this whole thing and sex scenes and video games. I worked as a youth minister at the time at a church while we were in college, and one of my youth came over to hang out and play some video games, and this was, you know, not pre-internet, obviously the internet was around, but this was like before you necessarily knew like all the content that was in a game, or that I was even paying attention because I was young and didn't really care, and it's just a game. And so like I fire up God of War with one of my youth over, who was in junior high, and like the very first thing that happened, if I remember correctly, it's been a long time since I played it, but I feel like it was the very first thing that happens in a game, like you fire it up and then there's breasts and you're like, oh cool, pixelated boobs, awesome. with my yeah, with my youth sitting there next to me, which was super awkward. All that to be said, that was kind of what God of War was. When I was in college, it was made for me at being in college. Now I'm 34, and now God of War feels like it's made for me being 34. You know, like it feels like the game's kind of grown up with me. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be, especially in a, like a, I empathize so much more with Chad now talking about The Last of Us, because I always loved Chad talking about The Last of Us, because he always talked about it from the perspective of being a dad and how that shaped his view of that game and how much he loves that game. And now I'm looking at God of War from the very, very new perspective of being a dad, going, oh, wow, that's very different to me now. You know, like it is very much meeting me where I am in life. Which I think they're very purposeful of, obviously, but they know their kind of core audience has grown up and they want to make a game that fits where they are now. And I think that's really wise. I appreciate them doing that.
But everybody's going to complain that Kratos was, his character was tarnished and they ruined his image and franchise, you know, just like Star Wars. I'm sure it'll happen. So
yeah, there's a good chance I would say that the like user score on Metacritic is going to be really, really mixed, because I think a lot of people are going to be pissed that it's not kind of bro God of War anymore.
But it does look very hardcore, like violent, badass Kratos stuff still. Sure. So I feel like they shouldn't complain too much. But I wouldn't be surprised still.
Yeah, people just like to complain. That's the internet, which is fantastic. So.
I can't believe you just said you might understand Chad better.
I know.
Can anybody actually claim that?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I feel like it. Man, The Last of Us 2 is going to destroy me now, I'm afraid. It's just going to eat me alive. So, you know. All that being said, I do want to also ask just what everybody's playing at this point. Anybody's got some good game recommendations for us? So, yeah, anybody want to jump in with something you've been playing since last we did a roundtable?
Oh, Tommy. So we have to have a discussion about Zelda Breath of the Wild. Because I have started playing this game, and I'm about 10 hours in, and I'm very conflicted as to whether I like it or not.
What?
Really?
What?
It's the little minute things that are getting out, like the breaking weapons is really getting like, so let's start with that point. So because your weapons wear down and break, I am afraid to use them. So most of the time I'm avoiding combat, but I love the combat in past Zelda games. Like I love the fact that I could just run in with the sword and I could explore. I could try hitting things with my sword, but now like I won't hit anything because I am afraid that I'm going to have zero weapons going into a battle that I need them. And then I'm going to have to go backtrack for a few hours and go find more weapons and then go back to the battle that I want to fight. Oh, that's my first sticking point. And so that also kind of like cuts down on my want to explore, because if I explore too far, I'm going to run too far out and then I'm going to run out of stuff to have and I'm not going to be effective in the area I'm going into and I'm going to waste time.
Spider, stop. Let me help you out. First, you're thinking too much. Okay, you gotta get some alcohol, or you gotta do something.
I disagree with Jamie so much. No, this is a very fair criticism of the game, which I agree with.
Look, here's the thing. I agree with it, but trust us when we tell you you're going to be throwing stuff away in about 5 hours.
Is it my Switch?
Because you don't have. I mean, seriously, well played. That's good. I like it. But you're gonna be throwing weapons away in about 5 hours.
Okay.
Because you've got no room and you're carrying entirely too much stuff. Tell me I'm wrong, Tommy.
No, I think you're spot on. I just wanted to mention this is a part of the show where now we yell at each other for not liking the same game.
Exactly.
Hey, we were talking about
having a civil discussion
before. I love you bringing up the opportunity to do that. No, in all seriousness, this is what advice I would give you in that, because I think it is a fair criticism. I think the weapons breaking is one of the like love it or hate it part of the game, in that like you get weapons that you like, and then they break, and you're really sad, and it sucks because you're like want them to save them for the boss. And I went through that terribly, and all the way through the game. And so, two things I would mention: one is like let stuff break because you're going to get more stuff. That's one thing that the game, especially as you get further into the game, like what you're going to be disappointed in more so, at least from my perspective, was that like the gear kind of levels out way 100%,
earlier. 100%.
Yeah, like it doesn't scale with the game well, and so you get weapons that are like kind of the highest end weapons you're going to get fairly early on, and so then you care a lot less about them breaking because you get them fairly often. Second thing I would mention that I didn't do, in retrospect, I wish I would have. As you find Korok seeds around the world, go turn them in to upgrade your weapons.
Yeah, so, I have absolutely been doing that. Well, yeah. Wait, upgrade your weapons. That just gives you more slots, right?
It gives you more slots that you can carry more weapons.
Right.
Yeah. And so then you care less about them breaking too, because you just have more of them. And so then you can kind of just pick like, okay, like me running around the world, I'm going to use, you know, whatever, like crappy weapon that I have, not crappy, but kind of mid-range weapon that I know can hold up in a fight, but I'm also not going to be sad when it breaks. And then third thing. So now there's three things. Get the Master Sword as soon as you can, because having a weapon that recharges that you don't ever have to worry about breaking is really, really handy. And so I don't know how early in the game, like if there's a big progression of that because it's such an open game. When you get the Master Sword, it alleviates a lot of that pressure because you know you always have a good weapon, even if you're waiting for it to recharge. Like if you're like, okay, I'm about to go do this combat shrine, and I don't know that I have great weapons. Well, if your Master Sword's fully charged, it's at least going to get you a good chunk through it. And so that makes it a little bit more doable. But that's a fair criticism. I'll grant you that completely.
Can we also talk about the cooking?
So yeah, I like the cooking. I think that's fun.
I like the gathering of the materials, but I don't. I wish the recipes were already there. It's the same thing that I hate in Minecraft on the PC versus the Xbox version, where if you have to go to like either if because I don't want to sit there for spend 5 hours trying to combine a bunch of things together to figure out what they need. I'm going to go to the internet and pull up a fact. And so it's like if I'm going to do that anyway, just put it in the game so that I can just pick the recipe I want and says, do you have the ingredients for this? No. Okay, I'll go find them. Now I can make it.
And so, make the freaking animation faster.
Yes.
Hey, you can skip it.
You've seen it once. Yeah. Can I just skip it?
Yes.
You can.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you can. It's still slow. It's just a tedious process because you got to grab all the ingredients.
But yeah, I agree. It should be once you've discovered it would have to just be a recipe book. Then you can go to the recipe book and your little inventory menu and then just have Link hold it when you click on it. And some sort of auto cook thing. That would definitely be good.
It would be awesome.
How about those? How about those main dungeons? Aren't they so enthralling?
Main dungeons? Are you talking about the
big beast, the divine beast?
I haven't got that far yet.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
See, and I love the game, but. Yeah. I have huge criticisms of it, but the stuff I love about it makes up for that stuff, you know, mostly. But I agree that it is super flawed.
Yes. I think
that's why when I saw 10s for this game, I'm like, there's too much to complain about. For like, even if the stuff you like overwrites the stuff you don't like, that doesn't. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I will say the game is gorgeous. Like I'm watching this on my brand new 75-inch TV, and it is glorious to behold. The controls are great. I love them. Like with the exception of the occasional motion control puzzles, or the fact that when I hold down my trigger to shoot my bow, that my hands, like the bow, is kind of slightly janky, like it's moving back and forth because of the motion control in the controller, because it wants you to also use the motion control, but it also you can use the controller. And is there a way to turn that off? I didn't even look to see in the setting.
You can turn that off so that you only have to use it in the puzzle shrine things.
I never did that. That's good advice, because that's annoying. So
because I'd be like right about to get a headshot and I'll release the arrow and my controller would jerk. No. yeah.
So, Spider, let me ask you this. Is it bad enough that you're like, I don't like this, I'm going to go play something else?
No, I'm like, that's why I'm still playing through it, because I'm still finding fun, because my favorite thing is just going over to a new area and being like, oh, wow, there's something cool here to see that I didn't expect to see, or, like, I just barely found I don't know if I should spoil anything here, but I just found an area that...
Yes!
It's over a year since it's been out.
Well, I didn't know if everyone here had played or if they're still planning on playing. But anyway, so I just found, like, the Zora Palace, and that was really cool to... Like, it was really cool how the mission for that just kind of organically popped up. I mean, I was just running through the world, and there was this fish or Zora guy that came over to me and said, hey, the prince wants to see you. And so I was like, oh, okay. He's like, go that way. And so I just started following their fingers. And then there's people leading me on that way that kept saying, hey, yeah, the prince wants to see you, go this direction. And I love climbing the towers and opening up the map so that I can see where everything is. The exploring is amazing. I love the exploring in the game. It's just, I feel hampered by that weapon issue. It sounds like the Master Sword will help alleviate that for me.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a flaw with the game.
Can we say this? I don't know if it's possible, but I would say play the DLC as early as you can and charge that baby up.
I don't know how early you could get to that. I would imagine fairly. It does help for sure. So, yeah, we obviously love the game, and so we're partial in that. But I think you'll enjoy it. If you enjoy the exploration side of it, and you enjoy the shrines. Like for me, that was 90% of it. Like the rest of the game is kind of ancillary to those two elements that I just adore about it. And so,
I totally understand what you're saying, because I watched him play probably 40-some-odd hours of Zelda on YouTube, right? And so it was almost like, okay, we're getting to cooking, and we're going to be here for 45
Yeah, you could fast-forward through it.
because he's going to be cooking a lot.
It is tedious.
Yeah.
I would love for that to be a little smoother. So
I am grateful that the armor is not does not degradate on top of the... of the weapons, at least that is, which also doesn't make any sense. It's like, okay, we're gonna have this item, you know, it's gonna lose value, but the other item, it'll be fine,
right? Because your shields break, but your helmet doesn't. Like apparently you just never get hit in the head. Cool. You know, whatever.
I got hit in the head a lot.
And you die a lot in this game, which I'm okay with. That hasn't been a problem, just because you know, generally so far the save spot or auto save spots have been pretty close to where I was if I forgot to save. So,
Josh, what about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah, not a huge amount. I think last time we did a roundtable, I said I was playing Oxenfree. So I've since finished that and had another playthrough of that. That is a phenomenal game. Really recommend that. And I played that. The reason I the first on my list, because I'm somewhat limited by mainly games I can play to and from my commute to work. So I played that on the Android version of that, actually. Otherwise, recently, the Beamdog released Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition. So
get that.
Yeah, it's jumping back into some Neverwinter Nights, which is a lot of fun. So... otherwise I played a little bit of Everspace as well on PC.
That's
a lot of fun. So Everspace, the best way I can describe it, it's a space combat simulator game. If you ever played FTL, the roguelike, so it's a roguelike mechanic like FTL, except it's full 3D, you're flying the ship and you jump from system to system trying to survive and
kind of like Colony Wars kind of a thing.
I've never played Colony Wars. I don't know.
Old school PlayStation was kind of like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I see what you mean. Not so much. Yeah. Not so much like that, but anyway, that's a lot of fun. Really like most of those roguelikes, really addictive sort of, oh yeah, just one more try sort of gameplay. And yeah, there's been some new content in Gran Turismo Sport, which I've checked out, had a few races. That's been fun as well.
How is that game? Because I've heard mixed things from people on whether they like that or not.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, I've always been a pretty big fan of Gran Turismo and racing games in general. Granted, it's a huge departure from previous Gran Turismo games, so I guess if you're going in expecting that sort of gameplay, you know, buying a used car and tuning it and, you know, sort of like a car, you know, car PG, as they'd call it, sort of gameplay, that is missing from this title. It's not really what it's aimed for, so you probably will be disappointed. That said, Gran Turismo Sport is more geared up for the esports and, you know, which I'm not really into the whole esports thing, but it means that the online gameplay and the mechanics and the systems they've got in place make the online play actually really enjoyable. And eventually, they've got these really cool ranking systems for ranking your sportsmanship and your racing ability. So when everyone first jumped in, everyone was at the same level. So, yeah, it was an absolute shit show. Everyone was ramming and bumping. But eventually, as the crappier troll players got pushed down to the bottom levels and then the cleaner drivers got pushed to the top levels, now when you jump in, you're pretty much matched with people that are at your same level of skill and your same level of sportsmanship. So, really top-notch online racing. I've had a lot of fun with that, actually.
I'm glad that we know somebody that has played Gran Turismo and enjoys it, because I want to like it so much. It's one of those games you see all the time. You're like, I really need to get into that, and I never have, so I'm glad you dig it.
I also like the idea of matchmaking on the same level of sportsmanship. Like, that seems really good. Like, even if I'm not as good or way better than a lot of people I'm playing with, I would like for them to be good sports. And so that sounds nice.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's really nice. I've got two completely separate ranking systems. And it's really nice. I've had some really good races in that game. So, yep.
Awesome. Spencer, what about you? What have you been playing?
Played a bit of Italian 1944. I played a few games of that. It's an early access. It's a reboot of like COD Pro Mod, COD 1 and 2.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like I grew up playing the old school Call of Duties, so like that game, it feels really good. I was able to pick it up fairly well.
Yeah.
So like we're talking about World War II type Call of Duty.
Yeah, but it's proper. It's 5v5 combat.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it's early access, but they're working out the bugs. But it's I enjoy it. I've also been playing still Factorio. Oh god, I spent 4 hours designing something last night.
Talk to me about that game, because I have almost pulled the trigger on it two or three times now, because it looks like something I would really enjoy. Why should I buy that game?
Well, the goal is to launch a rocket, and I have set off a challenge. You have the base game, but there's thousands of different mods out there. It's a whole motto, mod it till it breaks and then mod it some more, and that's what I've done. And it's just all about balancing and trying to ratio out everything right, and how do you do it? And
dude, that Tommy, that game will own you.
Yeah,
yeah. I've had a few people play that, and it's just like a drug once you get hooked on that.
I'm gonna mention a subreddit that's called "What Should I Play?" I think, or something like that. It's just a game recommendation subreddit that I frequent a lot. That's interesting. And on like every thread, Factorio comes up for some reason, you know, like it could be like, suggest to me like My Little Pony Simulator, and somebody's like, oh, you should really play Factorio, you know, like,
oh god,
it's crazy. Like, it comes up on every single thread, and again, looking at it just looks like something I would dig. So you might have convinced me to go pick it up at this point.
I don't know. It's what day is it today? Today's the
14th?
Yeah. On the 16th, it goes up to $30. It's $20 right now.
Oh, hey, I'm going to go buy it.
And the dev said no sales ever.
All right.
Sounds like player unknown, that guy never goes on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they know what they have. And the dev community is really like open about it. Like, there's people who build these stupid huge bases, and it's like, how is it breaking? And the devs are like, they're using their maps to find the limits on where they need to optimize, whether it's the big update was the belts, and now it's the inserters, and so they're just trying to figure, the devs are like, how can we push this to run smoother?
Awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cabbage, what about you? What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing the same game since last time we talked.
Fair enough.
Which is Monster Hunter World, almost exclusively. I mean, I kind of said everything.
Still digging it?
Then, yes, you could say that. let's not talk about how many hours I've put into that. I think it's my favorite game ever. Here's what I'd say. Technically, it's a very multiplayer-focused game, at least how I tend to play it. And I kind of like to judge games separately, whether it's a single-player thing I enjoy or if it's something I just enjoy as a game in general or whatever. Like, my favorite game ever maybe is still, like, I don't know, The Witcher 3 or Shadow of the Colossus or something. But this is up there. Maybe it's my favorite multiplayer game ever, but it's up there. It's in the conversation. Like, I absolutely am addicted to everything about the game. I love it. Not that I don't have some problems with it, but it's almost like it was made for me.
So, high praise. Cabbage, I think I might have something that's going to pull you out of it.
No. I think see, not, I say no as in, like, not another thing that's going to own me.
Okay, well, you've already been playing it, but I was telling you guys before we started that I had to reload my PC because it's been flaky for some reason ever since we built it. Tommy put it together, and it was a really weird, like, buggy thing where I could run it flat out for 6 hours, 8 hours, no problem, and then I leave it alone and walk off or switch on my KVM and it would crash, right? And every tech that I talked to told me I was crazy because I would take it into a shop and they'd run it and it wouldn't crash. But I'd get it home, switch to the Mac, and then switch back and it would crash, right? So finally, I was out of town a couple weeks ago, and I took it into a shop, and I said, fix it. And the dude called me, and he was like, I don't know what else to do other than reload it. And so he reloaded it, which I hate, but it doesn't crash. So on to what I was about to tell you, since I've had to reload, that means I have a clean slate, which Tommy and I have been talking about. We need to be doing some multiplayer stuff to get Duff involved because Duff has taken really, really good care of us. And we're doing a show for the Patreon people right now. We have not mentioned the Patreon people the entire show because most of them are here, so some of them aren't, but Duff is one that is never here and yet still continues to pay us for some reason that we do not understand. But we really want to get him involved, and I think we've decided the way that we're going to do it is Divinity Original Sin.
Okay, so you're going to do an official playthrough?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we're going to do a show playthrough. Would that pull you out?
Well, sure. I would definitely make that because I love that game, but because it's such a huge game, I feel like I barely played it because I put like 20 something hours into it, really liked it. And then other stuff happened even before Monster Hunter, and then Monster Hunter came around. So yeah, I have not put nearly enough time into Divinity Original Sin 2 that I wanted. So, yes, I would definitely do that.
Hey, Spencer, you played that?
Don't think so, no.
I think it's called Divinity, Divinity 2 Original Sin, I think is the name of it. And apparently it is a really good RPG.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, it has a 2 on it, but it's, I really don't think you need to have played the first game. It's pretty much a contained story. I think it introduces you to everything just fine with that game, so.
So as if we don't all have enough to do, I think we're gonna start doing that as a show.
But I will say Monster Hunter World will come to PC eventually, and I will play through it again because it's crack cocaine. It's amazing. So
I can't tell you that we're gonna play Monster Hunter on the show. We'll try.
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying for people, just in case you for some reason didn't know. It is coming to PC at some point. I don't think they have it announced like a date, but they said they're working on it. I'm definitely excited. I'll have an excuse to play through it again. So,
I'm not real excited about Monster Hunter, but you may be selling me on it.
No, I didn't care about it at all until Cabbage starts talking about being his favorite game, and then I'm like, well, maybe I need to look at it at least.
And that he's been playing nothing but that for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That says something. So there you go. So awesome. Well, that seems like a good place. Rappo mentioned I've been playing not much of anything, so I have nothing useful to add to that conversation. But now I'm excited to go look at some stuff that y'all mentioned, and hopefully, probably pick up Factorio today. So yeah, that's gonna own me, I'm afraid. So. Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate everything you do. As always, thank you for supporting the show, helping us do what we do, even in crazy life times, and making stuff happen still. So, thanks for your patience on that and for being here and buying us games and stuff. So we'll spend your money to go buy Factorio here in a little bit, which will be great.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for that. We appreciate it. So, but truly, for you guys, for everybody that's listening, for Patreon people that can't be here, thank you all so much. If you are interested in contributing to our Patreon page, you can do that. Go to gaminguncensored.com. Patreon link is right there at the top of the page. So go by there, check out the options, support us if you'd like. Otherwise, just enjoy listening to the show. We will be back hopefully pretty soon with another regular show. I know they've been super sporadic. We're working on some things to get more regular again, so hopefully that'll get back into a swing of things soon.
The things that we're working on, it's kind of a scary thought, because I don't think if they work out, I think you guys will see us more than you've seen us since about 2014. So I think it's going to be good for everybody, and we're going to be around more. I'm kind of excited.
That's the goal. We're hopeful, and so trying to figure out what that looks like. But yeah, exciting things ahead. Gaming Uncensored is not going anywhere. So, except for right now, we're going to leave. So thank you guys for being here. We'll catch y'all in a month or so for another roundtable. For right now, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.